Hey, it's Sam Alai here, founder of My Legal Academy, where we help lawyers scale and automate their law firms so they could sign up more clients and reclaim their precious time. If you're looking to grow your practice while working less, click the link in the show notes to book a free call to discover a radically different way to grow your law firm. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome back to the Law Entrepreneur Podcast. My guest today is Lindsay Busfield, Vice President and Director of Operations at Optimize My Firm, a company that specializes in helping law firms rank, get found, and stay visible through strategic SEO and content marketing. If you've ever wondered why your competitors show up on Google before you, or how to get more qualified leads without paying for every click, this episode is for you. Lindsay breaks down the SEO really means for law firm owners, how to build the content that Google loves and clients trust, plus what's working now in the world of law firm marketing. So whether you're DIYing your site or managing a marketing team, grab a notebook because Lindsay's about to show you what it really takes to dominate search results and drive growth online. Let's dive in. All right. Welcome, Lindsay. We're super excited to have you on today. SEO is definitely a controversial topic in the legal field, so we're excited to dive in.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Bridget.
Welcome. So if you want to kind of tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do, it would be great.
Sure. My name is Lindsay Busfield, and I am the Vice President of Optimize My Firm. We are a marketing agency that just does SEO, and we just do it for law firms. So we've really specialized into this one area of marketing and really focus our efforts onto one niche, which is law firms. So that way we can get the best results for our clients. And just by having this deep understanding of how to apply SEO best practices to law firm websites to get them to show up on Google when somebody's trying to find you.
Is there a specific reason that you got into working solely with law firms?
There is. So my partner, Len, founded Optimize My Firm in its kind of infancy about 15 years ago. And he had owned and operated a computer store and then did his own SEO for his computer store, realized the value of that. So you know, when somebody is looking for any service, they tend to go to Google first. So he figured out how to do that with his own website and then took on a couple of clients here and there to help them boost their visibility so that they could be getting more business, and found over time that law firms tend to get the best ROI when it comes to search engine optimization as a marketing practice. And specifically with law firms looking at personal injury lawyers, that really tends to be the niche that gets the best bang for your buck. And it works in general practice across any practice area, but really for those practice areas where you have a client who has a problem, they're searching for information, they don't even know that they need a lawyer, but then they are ultimately trying to connect with one. That's where SEO tends to shine when it comes to legal marketing.
So with the new world and the new, you know, we don't go to Google, we go to ChatGPT to Google our things now. And, you know, the new age of, you know, millennials and Gen Z and all of that, that seem to find everything on social media. How does that tie into, you know, SEO still being valid? Because I feel like a lot of lawyers that we work with either are in or out. It's either I'm old school SEO and I've been doing it for years and years, so it works, or I'm new to it and it's not working.
Right. And so there is always this big AI question. And I think that's kind of where everybody immediately jumps to is, you know, nobody's looking at those organic search results anymore. They're getting that information right from AI. And for a lot of searches, yeah, that's great. So if you're trying to find out some really basic information of, you know, that pertains to a car accident, where do I get a police report? You know, what's the statute of limitations here? That can give some really great information that somebody just needs in a zero click capacity. But when it comes to where that information is being generated from, that's where SEO is still incredibly relevant, because ChatGPT or any of the other AI platforms out there aren't pulling this information from nowhere. They're pulling this information from the websites that Google has determined to be the most relevant, the most credible, best sources of information that you can get. And then you get this free little advertising on the side of the chat response that says your law firm's name. And so if you have invested in doing SEO the right way, especially if you've been doing it for a long time, it's still incredibly relevant. And yes, for new law firms, it can be a challenge to show up on organic when it comes to SEO, or to have your information displayed in the AI, and that way you can get that free advertising next to it. But there are still different ways that new law firms, smaller law firms, can crack in and to start get results. And so if you want to, we can definitely dive into that in more depth, but let me know what you want to know specifically, so I'm not talking for 6 years by myself.
Yeah, no, I think that's something definitely we definitely need to dive into on this. It's a big topic, and it's something that as we go into the social media and we go into the type of contents that we're told that we need to create and what's working, what's not working, there's still always, to me, you know, and I always call it for everyone, like the unsexy foundations of business that nobody wants to do or talk about, but keeping it simple, and the simple foundations are the things that you build on and that always work. So I think it's important for the smaller firms, the new firms, to understand how to break into that in a simple way and know that it's not for nothing. Because I feel like that's a lot of the verbiage I see where I don't want to waste my time doing that.
And that's true. And there are a lot of really unsexy things that you just kind of have to do, even if they won't directly result in cases. So if you are a law firm, especially if you are working with clients that are in a B2C capacity, so your personal injury lawyers, your workers' comp lawyers, your family law lawyers, you need to have a website. I mean, that's just basic now. Like, you absolutely need to have one, and it needs to look modern and professional. And so even if somebody is just finding your website because you gave them a business card and they're going to it directly and they didn't find you through Google or ChatGPT or anything like that, you need to have a website that accurately reflects your capabilities. So this website needs to have photos, probably of you, that are professionally taken, nice looking headshots. It needs to be well designed so that somebody lands on the website and immediately understands what services you provide. It needs to have the information laid out in a way that somebody who wants to hire you can see your phone number in the top right corner, easily get in touch. That's just the basics. So you need to make sure that your homepage has all of this information in there. And in order for somebody to want to hire you from looking at your homepage, if they, you know, go there just by typing in your URL, you need to have information about the services you provide. So if you are a personal injury lawyer, for example, you need to spell it out and have different pages for car accidents or motorcycle accidents, slip and falls, dog bites, whatever types of cases you're interested in taking on. You need to tell your prospective clients, these are the types of cases that I want to take on. If you have one of those, let's get in touch. And then the content on those pages needs to answer the questions that your prospective clients are asking. So how long is the statute of limitations? How much is a case worth to me? Is it worth it for me to call you? The vision of gain, so that I actually pick up the phone and know that this is going to be in my best interest. Do you give free consultations? So a lot of information that's just basic for a client to want to hire you. And that is the foundation of this, so that you at least need to invest enough in your website to have that available for prospective clients. If you want to show up on Google, then you're going to need to develop more content. That way you are eligible to show up for more search terms, because Google doesn't know what you do. They don't have just this inherent knowledge. They only know what you tell them. So you need to have enough content on your website that you're telling Google, I have the answer to these questions. I provide services in this geographic location. And here is a depth of knowledge that I can provide for somebody who is asking these questions. For example, let's go back to the personal injury lawyer website. If you have a page on your website that is about car accidents, that's great. But you want to build a hierarchy of information so that you have car accidents at intersections or hit and run accidents or car accidents involving delivery drivers. So that way you are eligible to show up for search terms when somebody's asking about a specific type of case that they might have. That's how the SEO content marketing piece of this works. and you have this information out there. It's great information. It's in-depth. It answers questions. Well, okay, so do six of your other competitors. Well, Google decides how to rank which website where based on how credible the information is. And so that's why you need to get backlinks to that content. So there are a number of different ways to go about getting backlinks. I won't go into too much depth because this is where people tend to fall asleep. But know that getting those backlinks are important because that's how Google decides who is more credible than whom. And working with an SEO agency that is doing things the right way, that's writing original content, that's in depth, that has an understanding of the questions that people are asking, and knows how to source backlinks in a way that is actually going to help your website, as opposed to just really spammy backlinks that aren't going to do anything at best and might penalize you at worst. You need to be working with somebody who knows what they're doing if you actually want to show up on Google. And to kind of expand on that even a little bit more, I will put the caveat out there that SEO is not for every law firm. Not every law firm is going to be able to throw a budget out there and be able to rank on the first page of Google. That's not necessarily going to happen for your firm, for your geographic area, for your budget. So all of these things really need to work together towards realistic goals in order for SEO to be right for your law firm.
Is there a way that a firm can determine if that makes sense for them or not, like an easy way for them to figure that out?
So, I mean, there are a few different factors to look at. One is the size of your firm and how many cases you have coming in now versus how many cases you want. So if you are a solo firm and you are getting 20 cases a month and you want to be getting 30 cases a month, that could be realistic depending on what geographic market you're in. If you want to go from 20 cases a month to 100 cases a month in 6 months, that's not going to happen regardless of where you are. The other factor that you need to be looking at is what's the competition level at in your specific city. So if you are in Los Angeles and you have 5 million other personal injury law firms in your space who have been doing SEO for 30 years and have incredibly powerful backlinks, no, realistically, as a small law firm, you're not going to be able to rank well on Google. So targeting that specific market isn't going to be in your best interest, even if you have $50,000 a month to throw at it. You need to be looking at different geographic markets that are less saturated, but still have a decent sized population. So looking at your competition level and having realistic goals that fit within your budget, that's going to be where all of these kind of come to an intersect and can point you in whether or not you're actually have a realistic shot of SEO helping you out. You're always welcome to contact Optimize My Firm. We give free consultations. We can help you figure this out as to whether or not this is a good investment for you. We honestly turn away more people than we bring on because SEO can really only help people who have the right budget for their market and for realistic goals. So we'll help you figure that out.
So yeah, that's an interesting thing. So this concept of using that analogy, if you're in LA and there's a company that's been doing it for 30 years, they're on page one or they're one, two, or three, whatever it is, the ability for the smaller, newer firm coming up to ever reach that seems like slim to none.
Slim to none. Because you're going up against these firms that are spending millions of dollars a month just on SEO and who have served some really high profile clients. So they're getting backlinks from news agencies that are incredibly powerful, or they've influenced public policy and they're getting backlinks from government websites that are incredibly powerful. And those things can't just be bought. And sending out a press release is not the same thing as getting natural press and earned media. So you need to be established in a market where you're actively investing in the content, you're active in the community, you're getting cases that are drawing publicity. And that's the only way to realistically compete in these super saturated markets, in your LAs, in your Tampas, in your New York cities. These are incredibly difficult places to break into just because you have these Goliaths who have been working at this for years. The best way to go about it is to identify another market. And even if you live in LA, looking at a different market in a different city that has a smaller population but still has a relatively high number of accidents, making sure that you have an appropriate budget set aside for this, realistic goals, and know that it's going to take probably a year or so before you actually see a return on that investment. So if you are a small firm and you're like, man, I'm about to go under and I need cases to be coming in the door now, no, SEO is probably not the right approach for that because it's going to take time. So investing that marketing spend in other things that are going to be more of a quick fix and building relationships and, you know, working within the community to get clients in now, you got to be a little more creative with that grassroots, but that's going to be the better spend.
That makes sense. So going back to the content, I want to kind of talk a little bit about the content that Google likes. I'm sure there's a, you know, every platform has a very specific, you know, content and thing that it likes and that it loves and helps rank, you know, you, whether you're doing the $1 million or you have the budget that you have. What is the type of content that Google prefers?
So the type of content that Google's looking for is not your blog content. They're not looking at, you know, the, you know, what to do after you're in a car accident, that crap that everybody has covered a million times over, that's not going to help you out. The content that you need to have on your website starts with having that basic information. So starts with having your car accident lawyer in Omaha page and building out information that answers questions that people are asking. And then building a content hierarchy based off of what we call those parent pages. So building out specific pages that target information for specific case types. So again, continuing with this car accident in Omaha analogy, you would build out, you know, car accidents caused by drunk drivers or car accidents that are, you know, hit and run accidents. Building out pages of content that specifically look at different accident types that are the most common for that area, and building out that information across the website for every type of case that you're bringing on. And for the pages themselves, they need to be informative. They need to be written for your users, for your prospective clients, and thoroughly cover the topic that you're talking about. So we don't really look at, you know, a page needs to have like 14,000 words or anything like that. It's, have I really in depth covered the information that somebody might be looking for if they're in this type of situation?
Okay, so I know we don't want to dive too deep into backlinks, but for someone like myself that is not savvy in marketing, I understand the backlink comes from, like you said, a news agency that maybe put out something that said you worked on X, Y, and Z case, or something that mentions you that is not directly coming from your site. So those, am I correct? That's kind of what the backlink is. Okay. So for somebody who needs to or understands that they need those type of backlinks, how do they start with that? Like,
yeah. So there are a million different ways to get backlinks, and the more creative you can be with it, the better. I will start by saying there are thousands of companies out there that will say, I can buy backlinks for you for, you know, $150. And then you spend all of this money and then you get really shoddy directory listings that have your website mentioned on like Yelp and all of these other legal directories. Those aren't really going to help you all that much. They're a lot cheaper. You can get them yourself. So don't go out and pay somebody to do that because it's really not going to help you all that much. But the types of backlinks that you're wanting to get are going to come from news agencies. And the way that you do that is you do something interesting. So instead of just, you know, putting out a press release of, oh, we hired, you know, lawyer John to come to our firm, nobody cares about that. They aren't going to actually cover that. And putting out the press release doesn't actually, the links that are associated with that don't actually help you all that much. But have an event in your area, you know, do something that engages your community, something that's newsworthy, something that has some visual component to it, and then invite the news agencies in your area to come and cover it. That's a great way to get a backlink, and it's going to be a more powerful backlink while also building goodwill within your community. So that's a way to get one that's a little bit more expensive, but it's going to have some more credibility behind it. And it's going to help your site more. Other ways to get links are to host scholarships. And, you know, a lot of law firms do that. It's been, you know, people have been trying that for about 10 years. It, you know, it can kind of help, but you can build relationships with blogs, with other blogs. So let's say that you have a page on your website that's dedicated to child injuries. You can reach out to a mom blog and say, hey, here's an article that mentions these statistics that I have on my website. Can you put this article on your blog? You pay them, $100 and they post it on their blog. And so that's a way to build a natural backlink relationship. So it's essentially either building relationships with other websites, building relationships with news agencies, or building relationships with anybody else who has a website that can mention your site in a way that, is geographically relevant and topically relevant.
Okay. So I love that. I think that basically that pulls you back into take a look at your community, really look at, what's out there, who's out there, what makes the most sense, and connect with those people. I think this is the part that moves people out of the COVID age of we actually do have to get back into our communities and engage with people and make the connections in order to make that happen.
Yes. Do something interesting. And that is really all it comes down to is do something newsworthy if you want the news to come and cover you. And that's honestly the best way to get links.
So besides backlinks and your website having the correct content on it, I want to kind of cover something that's a little bit, and I don't know names of people, so this has nothing to do with anybody specific. It's just things that I've heard. There's a lot of companies out there that say that they do SEO and people pay a lot of money for it. Lawyers tend to invest because they want to invest in their business. And then it comes back that really it didn't do anything or it didn't work. What would be something that they need to look out for that? Because I think that's one of the biggest scams, for lack of a better word, that I see lawyers falling prey to.
And it's so unfortunate. And you're absolutely right. There are a lot of SEO agencies out there that are just total snake oil. And a lot of them are making guarantees that you absolutely can't substantiate. So like these places that are guaranteeing 90 clients in 90 days or anything that really sounds too good to be true probably is. I mean, it's a tale as old as time. And it is really unfortunate because it is so prevalent in the legal SEO industry because law firms have the budget to invest and SEO takes time. So it's one of those things that lawyers will throw a whole bunch of money at, be told that it takes time, and then never see any results. And we've actually built our business model as a response to this because it is so prevalent in the industry. So a lot of law firms out there will get locked into year-long contracts, two-year-long contracts. You have to pay up front and all of that, which is why we have gotten rid of contracts. We don't use them. It's all month to month. And so if this isn't working for you for whatever reason, you can just walk away. The other trap that a lot of law firms fall into is they work with an SEO agency that either owns the website or hosts it and kind of locks it down, and the law firm is never given access to it and is never given ownership rights. And that just makes for the worst headache when a law firm finally realizes they're being scammed and wants to get out. And unfortunately, it just happens a lot. And there are a couple of big companies that do this and make it really difficult to get out. And so the law firm ends up having to build the website from scratch again. And it's one of those things where we make sure that the hosting, the URL, everything stays in the law firm's name when we work with a law firm, just because it is such a prevalent issue. So make sure that you are maintaining ownership rights of your website, hosting rights, have all of the login information, have backups of everything. And then try to avoid companies that are locking you into long-term contracts or force you to pay up front.
We've seen a lot of that. A lot of people that come in that then want to market and run ads and do what they are ready to do to scale and have no access at all to anything. And it's horrible. They don't own their assets. They don't own their site. It's a horrible thing to see. Just have to start completely from scratch.
Yeah, it's really a nightmare situation that we've seen time and again.
Oh, okay. So we talked about what to look for with an SEO company. And I think there's a lot of research that you as an owner can probably do in the beginning, depending on where you are, what market you're in. Is there any practice areas that you would say you really just, we know for like Facebook ads marketing, there's just some practice areas it just does not work in. Is that the same with SEO? Like, there's just a few that it's absolutely not going to work.
I don't know that there's any that it absolutely won't work for. We have seen some challenges with family law, honestly, where SEO can work really well, but a lot of the cases and prospective clients that call in are expecting the free consultation because all the personal injury lawyers advertise free consultation. And so you have to be careful with how you measure your success of an SEO campaign for family law, because the phone will start ringing and you'll start getting prospective clients through the door, but they might not have a budget. They might be looking for that free consultation, and it's just not the same value as it would be for, say, a personal injury lawyer. So for personal injury, for criminal defense, SEO works really, really well. Family law can be hit or miss depending on your business model. If you have a referral partner already in place where you can, you know, send these cases that are not necessarily going to work for your firm, then that can be a great model for that. And then we also find that for corporate law, where a lot of the business is coming in from, you know, previous clients, word of mouth, and just, you know, general reputation within the industry, SEO can be helpful, but is not necessarily going to be a primary driver for your lead generation. So, and that's just true across the board for law firms. It all depends on where it is that your leads tend to come from. So in a business-to-business environment, you don't necessarily have a CEO going to Google going, who's a good corporate lawyer? No, you're going to talk to other people that you know. You're going to use other law firms that you've already established trust with.
Right. That goes back to the connection, connecting with other people in your, you know, in your network and in your community. When we run heavily on, you know, taking information is great, but if we don't implement that information, then nothing happens. We don't move. So I always like to give the listeners either a tip or a tool, but I think on, for this, I think what might be super important and great is if you're already doing SEO, what would be, you know, a step or two that they could audit? And especially if somebody else is doing it for them, like, how do you know it's working or not working? Is there something they can check? Or if they're doing it themselves, is there a way to audit, you know, whether what they're doing is making any sense at all or if it's working?
At the end of the day, it's going to be, are you getting more clients in the door? And unfortunately, on the, you know, the SEO provider side, we only have so much data that can show whether or not you're actually getting more clients. So internally, have a process in place where you know where your clients are coming from. And so, you know, if somebody calls in, you know, make sure that you are greeting them with empathy and, you know, helping them where they are. But somewhere in the conversation, make sure that you're asking, how did you hear about us? You know, we're so glad you're here and that we're able to help you with this. But how did you find out about us? Take a note of that. Make sure that you have call rail set up on your website so that you're, you know, seeing what leads you are getting from where, from what geographic areas. And so get as much data as you can and then use that data to inform the decision. And as you're collecting that data, make sure that you're regularly benchmarking where you're at. So every 6 months or so, you know, what is the trend? And then year over year, are there certain seasons where you see call volume come in and drop? And what can you do during those times of drop to help boost that back up or use that time to invest in developing relationships in other ways? That way the peaks are higher and the valleys are a little bit more stable.
I think that that's a good tip and point for somebody even that's just going to be fresh starting out or has just fresh started out. We see this a lot with our marketing and our marketing and ads clients. The worst part of it is getting them to provide us the data monthly that so that they understand that we need that data in order to make sure that what we are doing for them is working. So this part is super important for their own data and to be able to have a process in place before you start, if you have not started yet, that your team understands, if it's just you, you know, that it's being tracked, it's being done correctly, and it's being looked at more than just when everybody starts asking the question or when you show up somewhere and somebody asks you, how many clients did you get from Google?
Right. And the best data trail that you can possibly get follows you from where the client calls you or one step before, which is where you're getting that data. And then you follow that case all the way through the end. And that way, at the end of the day, you can see what is the value of the case that came in from each different lead source. So if I have somebody, if I'm a personal injury lawyer, and I have somebody who contacted me for, you know, a dog bite from my site, you want to make sure that you find out who this person is, what type of accident they have, where the lead came from, and then follow it to the end so that you can see this particular case was worth $20,000. And then compare that against where your leads are coming in for an auto accident or a motorcycle accident. And if you are getting more leads with a higher value from one marketing source, invest more heavily in that, expand the reach on that so that you're attracting more of those high value cases. And that way, not only are you getting more cases in the door, but you have more selectivity on the cases that you can take on, and you can refer out some of those lower value cases.
So we walked through the type of content. I think I'd like to maybe leave them with, once they get started and they're getting found, the thing that always kind of clicks in my mind is, now how do I stay visible? Like, staying relevant, staying visible. I'm sure that there's a strategic process that they need to make sure they're continuing to follow. It can't just stay stagnant with what's on your site.
Right. Because you need to understand that everybody else is working on their SEO as well. So everybody is wanting to be on that first page of Google and getting found. And when it comes to your website, it's going to be continuing to develop content within those hierarchies and continuing to get backlinks to make sure that your pages stay the most powerful. And then the other piece of this that we really haven't talked about is review generation. So for your Google Business profile, if you want to be showing up in the local pack as one of the top 3 or 5 law firms in the area, you need to be getting consistent reviews and building that into your process as well, because you're only going to show up in that local pack if you are already showing up on the first couple of pages of Google to begin with organically, and if you are close in proximity to your users, and if you are getting consistent reviews coming in the door. So that is a big piece that you can actively be working on, which, you know, it's helpful if you are asking existing clients for reviews, but also going back to former clients, 6 months, a year later, checking in with them saying, hey, was thinking about you. How are things going? You know, was there anything in our relationship that, you know, you thought that we did really well at, anything that we could have improved upon? If they're happy, ask them for a review and say, hey, I'm going to send you a link. Would you do me a favor and leave a review for me? That would be really helpful. Ask them for that favor. That way they feel like they're actually helping you out. And if things are going really well, say, hey, you know, I really loved working with you. If ever you have anybody else that you think I could help, can you put me in touch? You know, ask for that referral. So build your business based on those relationships. Use that review generation process as another marketing tool to help boost your visibility within your existing community.
I'm glad you brought that up. That is a huge, it's within our program. It's like the number one thing. I don't care if you've been, you know, your law firm's been open for 30 years or it's been open for 3 months, like reviews, we start with that. It's absolutely necessary. Yes, it's not fun. It's not sexy. We always talk about there's a way to have it automated if you are super busy, or to have a VA do that for you. We had a lawyer actually bring on someone they called a chief happiness officer, and her entire role was doing exactly what you said. We're going to go to past clients. I'm going to build that connection. We're going to then ask for the review. And it worked well, because connection with people is lacking. And some people just prefer, send me the email and I'll answer it. And some people don't connect that way. So I think there's a multitude of ways to do it. You just can't not do it.
Right. And it has to fit within your brand. And so if you are a highly automated law firm and you attract people who just want to engage with the technology and get this done quickly, and that's what they care about, then yes, having a review process be automated is going to be great for those clients. But if you're a law firm that, let's say that you work heavily with mothers who have been, their children have been injured, who might be looking for that more personal connection. Having an extension of that throughout your law firm's operational practices is going to, you know, be another great way to connect with them after the fact and to build with that network that organically fits into who you are as an attorney and how that translates into your brand.
This has, I think, been a lot of great information and a lot of really good ways for somebody who is already doing SEO or maybe has somebody doing it for them to take a step back and do an audit if you have not, whether it's yourself or whether it's a firm that company that you're working with. When's the last time you did a benchmark audit when you looked at the data or the trends, if you're just getting started? But what would be the number one thing that you would want to leave every lawyer with that's listening, whether they're new or they've been doing it a long time? If you could leave them with one tip, what would that be?
Do something. So you have the information available to you now. Everybody else who is succeeding is actively working on this. And yes, there are a million different directions that you can go, but pick something and do it. Whether it is committing to, I'm going to reach out to past clients and get reviews today, do it. Or if it's, I need to take a look at my website and see if it accurately represents all the different types of cases that I would like to take on, do that, even if it's just making a list of the pages that you need to write. But take a step, whether it's a small step or a big step, like engaging with another agency, just do something today and it'll help you bring in more clients tomorrow.
I love that. And I think I would add on to that for those that know and always get to the last quarter of the year and they're like freaking out, either we didn't make it or we haven't focused on what our goals are for next quarter. This is something that you can then put into your plan so that it's not, you know, a fire drill every single time you want to think about it. And it's not, I listened to the podcast and now I'm going to do that one thing. That one thing has to then roll into what that is going to look like in your firm, what your goals are, and how you can incorporate that into it so that it stays consistent.
Yes. And if that one thing is just figuring out what your goal is, that is a great big thing to do and that everything else can fall in under it. So if you are getting 20 clients a month today, where do you want to be in 6 months? And that way you at least have the bookend of this. You have, you know, something to work towards. And then every other piece of the puzzle can fall in line to help get to that bigger goal. So figure out what you want.
Yes. And just do it.
Do it. Yeah.
This has been great, Lindsay. We were going to put, if you want to reach out to Lindsay, if you want to have a consultation on your SEO, we'll link in the show notes for you to be able to reach out to her. But I really appreciate you being on. This is a topic that just does not go away in the legal field, and I don't think it's ever going to. So being able to have real knowledge and information that people can understand and then use is super important, especially with everything that's out there.
Well, thank you so much for having me on to share today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.